It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCbizradio.com and the 77 WABC app. This radio show, Mind Your Business on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and business categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, real estate, leadership, communications, financial planning, marketing, advertising, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we're going to open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Tropper, the show's producer. Thank you. And to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a really critical support role for this program. Rena, Srilly, Ellie, Miriam, Dina, thank you very much. And to the great team at 77 WABC, including Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, special thank you. Also, I'd like to thank you, to give a thank you and special mention to some of the channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. From the beginning of 2017, we've been in Mishpacha Magazine. We have a monthly column, Take 5. So far, it's featured David Colby, Christine Comerford, and even John Sculley, the former CEO of Pepsi and Apple. Those were in previous editions of Mishpacha Magazine, the Take 5 column. And all subscribers of Mishpacha get that. We're also on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, Audio Boom, iTunes, YouTube. In fact, on C-Suite TV, that episode we had with the district president at Robert Half Incorporated, Dawn Fay, is up at C-Suite TV. And you could always follow me on social media. The main advantage is you get to know who our upcoming guests are going to be. Social media, it's the easiest way to follow me is, on any of the various different ways, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Yitzhak Saflis. I believe I'm the only one in America, so it's probably, any way you spell it, I'll come up, but Yitzhok Saflis, and you'll find me. And before we get to tonight's very special guest, I want to thank everyone that gave me congratulations. Yes, we did. We are now at the 10 o'clock hour here on 77 WABC, a big move. We're actually nearing our 100th show. Could you believe that? We started back in July of 2015 at the 11 o'clock hour, and now officially we're moving up to the 10 o'clock hour. Big move for us. Special thank you to WABC Management, Jose Torres, and the entire team at 77 WABC, Matt, Chris, Brian. You're a pleasure to work with, fantastic to work with, and this upgrade to the 10 o'clock hour is noted and appreciated. I just want to remind the listeners, I get this question all the time, and that is, if you missed a previous edition, how can you get access it? No worries. There is a dedicated website for this show. It's called WABCbizradio.com. All the previous podcasts that we've had. Well, not podcasts. This is real radio shows. This is real radio, folks. As you know, you're listening to it. They're all available. The interview we had recently with John Sculley, you know how much feedback I got on that? I mean, he was the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. He shared such incredible wisdom, advice, content. It's remarkable. And in fact, the people that complimented it are noteworthy in their own right. So therefore, if you missed that one, no big deal. Just go to WABCbizradio.com, WABCbizradio.com, and it's right there. Just scroll down. The interview we had with Keith Mistrich, CEO of Amalgamated Bank, Jay Buxbaum, Executive Vice President at Royal Wine. What about with the team at Senior Planning Services? It's all there. Bill Walsh, Mel Lissiton, John McLaughlin. On there, you could pick up the interview we had with Todd Magazine, president of Blink Fitness, Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Jason Robinson, director of marketing at UPS, Captain Sully Sullenberger, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Jeffrey Cologne of Microsoft, Rich Marin, the CEO of New York Wheel, Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield, running for mayor of New York, Jack Canfield, Brian Solis, Dr. Adrian Boise, chief experience officer at Cleveland Clinic, Dan Sullivan, president of Strategic Coach, Jeffrey Hazlett, John Hewitt, the CEO of Liberty Tax Service, and so many other incredible guests. All these incredible stars and many, many others, and you could also filter it by industry. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. All this content is available at WABCBizRadio.com. Without further ado, I'm going to go to our incredible guest, Yossi Heber, founder and president of Oxford Hill Partners. His clients include many famous companies, including Procter & Gamble, Novartis, Pitney Bowes, Hyundai Capital, Nestle. Just a little bit of background about Yossi. After getting his MBA at Wharton Business, he had various C-level positions at Fortune 500 companies, including Kraft, Danone, Barry Diller's IAC, and he's worked, in fact, at Danone, and we'll get to this later in the program. He invented the $900 million line category of kids' yogurts. So we're going to get to that. So, therefore, stay tuned for this incredible edition. We're going to be talking a lot about marketing, past trends, present, upcoming trends. Yossi, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's my pleasure.
Wow, what an honor. So, let's jump right in. Tell me about your professional journey. So you went to Wharton, and then you went to Kraft. First of all, where did it all start? When did you start realizing, hey, you know, marketing is for me?
Great question. Actually, I was in taking a summer course in St. Louis, where I grew up at Washington University. I took a marketing course, and I kind of was looking at the various brochures from various companies. And I caught Procter & Gamble's brochure caught my eye. It talked about product management and marketing. And I thought to myself, that's what I want to do. That looks like something very interesting. It's something where you could have an impact on products that you actually used. And it was that really what got me excited to be able to do that. And that's when I went to business school in order to be able to get into this world of marketing in a large company.
Wow. Now, so in Kraft General Foods was your first entry point?
Correct. From business school, I started off as an assistant brand manager at Kraft General Foods working on Jell-O gelatin. Then I became a product manager on a number of different post cereals, including fruit and fiber and alphabets. Probably the funnest part of the job was being responsible for all those little toys and premiums that go inside the boxes of kids' cereals. We did also a licensing agreement with Major League Baseball to put baseball cards into the various kids' cereals. So that's kind of the kid in me. I got very excited about being able to decide whether we put, a watch or some stickers inside the boxes of cereal.
I just have to ask you, did you ever interact with Bob Salert?
I knew of Bob Salert a little bit. I think he was president for a period of time, maybe a little bit before I got there. But he was very well known as a great guy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his book, Start With the Answer. And he's also, it comes to mind, and certainly for someone like yourself who had experience on the client side and on the agency side, because for a while he ran, I think he was the chairman of Saatchi & Saatchi.
Right.
So that's, now let's talk about Danone. Then you're at Danone. I understand that you invented and came up with this concept of the kids line of yogurts, which is now presently almost a $1 billion market. Talk to me. What was the aha moment? I mean, just talk about it.
From Kraft, really, I went over to Danone as a marketing director. Literally, it was right down the road in White Plains from where Kraft was. We first really what we were trying to do is build Danone Lite, which was a test market yogurt at the time, to build that into the number one yogurt in the United States, which it became. But then an interesting thing happened, and we really saw a great opportunity. In the early 1990s in the United States, yogurt was really yogurt. There was fruit on the bottom yogurt that you had to kind of mix yourself, mm-hmm. which was Danone. And then there was yogurt that was kind of pre-mixed, blended, as they called it, which was pretty much Yoplait. That was pretty much what the industry was like at that time. And with all the kids that I knew and, you know, all around, always kind of been a little bit of a kid at heart also, we kind of thought, well, maybe we can segment the category and create a yogurt especially made for kids with flavors like grape or cherry, with a culture that's maybe not as tart as a regular yogurt culture, maybe with sprinkles inside to resemble kind of an ice cream sundae type of an experience.
Right.
So we started with a brand called Sprinklins, which was exactly that. It was a separate sprinkle packed that went into the yogurt if the mother wanted to put it in the yogurt. And then a product called Danimals, which still exists today. Both of them were very successful and were later launched in many other countries around the world. After that, of course, many of the competitors came out with their own brands like Go-Gurt or Yo Kids and others. But today, this kids yogurt category has grown to $900 million and pretty much takes up about 20% of the whole refrigerated yogurt section. So this was like an incredibly fun experience. And, you know, brought out the kid in me, I guess you could say. But, you know, kids, you want the kids to eat healthy and you want the kids to eat something good, but that has to be really balanced with nutrition as far as the mother is concerned. So we developed products that kind of meet both of those requirements when we introduced this product.
Wow, fascinating. The road on how that's done and how it's even, I'm sure there's a story about how it had to be introduced to the supermarkets in order for shelving, because we know that that's, I mean, it's referred to in the industry today as real estate, pretty much, you know, getting your product in. But really,
absolutely.
And that has to all be charted out, correct? I mean, like, someone could have a great idea, but it's not, you don't just invent the and create the product and expect that stores are going to take it.
Absolutely. We did a lot of work with, well, most of the cultures that are used in dairy products come from Sweden. So we had to work with a company there, a company in France, to try to develop this culture properly. We had to figure out pricing strategy, you know, sales strategy. How do we position this to get into a supermarket? Because it was a different category, and there is a limited amount of real estate, you know, as you mentioned. But, you know, that was kind of the interesting part of it. It had a lot of broad questions related, and we were kind of going into a new area. So a lot of those things had to be dealt with at that time. And having worked also while I was doing this with a lot of people in Europe, where Danone was headquartered in Paris, that gave me an opportunity right after this to be asked to move to Europe, actually, with Danone. I became head of marketing for another Danone company, actually in England, in London, which was also a great experience for me because, as we know, the rest of the world is a little different than the United States from a marketing perspective.
Right. Now, after you were for nearly two decades at Fortune 500 companies, you have your own consulting gig now, and you service clients like Procter & Gamble, Novartis, Reader's Digest. What is it like moving from a from big corporate America onto the other side? Now you're servicing them. Maybe you could just describe that shift.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very interesting type of a shift, certainly, which a lot of people in marketing end up doing at some point within their careers. I kind of came to this. How did I come to want to do this? Once I was leaving Group Danone, I was with a number of other companies with them as well back in the United States. But I eventually became chief marketing officer of one of the divisions of Barry Diller's IAC Corporation. Mm-hmm. And here I started getting very involved with a lot of his big digital properties like Expedia and Ticketmaster and Match.com, where I really started to cut my teeth on websites and digital development, which was very different than traditional marketing. So about 10 years ago, I saw there was a gap in the marketing world. It seemed that most senior marketers and people who had been around for a long time really understood marketing strategy, but didn't really know what to do with digital. And then you kind of had the younger generation who were very versed in digital, but at that time didn't have a good grasp on traditional marketing strategy. So I started Oxford Hill Partners to help bridge that gap, really, and help companies figure out how to better leverage both traditional as well as digital, social media, websites, mobile, email content, and so on, to take their businesses to the next level. And again, 10 years ago, there wasn't really much social media, if any. I mean, social media was just sort of coming out. Mobile has just become a big trend over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years in a big marketing way. So there was really a need to help companies figure out kind of how do you take your business to the next level. And this has been very different than working, of course, in big companies. You know, I loved my life in sort of the boardroom in these big global conglomerates, but there's something very special about igniting the spark, really, of a small company and kind of watching them strive. You know, for example, recently worked with, a $15 or $20 million food company. They wanted some help in writing a traditional marketing plan. We did that. And then they asked I should help them kind of execute that plan a few days a month, sort of as a part-time CMO. And then we grew that company from $18 million to $75 million in revenue in under 2 years. And then they were sold for a couple hundred million dollars. So the satisfaction you get with working with a smaller company in a more entrepreneurial environment or helping a company like that grow is something different than being in a big company where you may have $100 or $200 million to actually spend.
My guest this evening is none other than Yossi Heber, founder and president of Oxford Hill Partners. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
Do you own a small business? Do you want free access to the biggest business networking event of the year? Check out the Small Business Expo. It's free to attend, featuring more than 25 workshops, panel discussions, networking opportunities, and over 100 exhibits, including Vistaprint, Bank of America, Progressive, and Zip Local. There's something for everyone at the Small Business Expo. Join us at the New York City Small Business Expo at the Jacob K. Javits Convention Center on Thursday, May 11th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Register free today at thesmallbusinessexpo.com. That's thesmallbusinessexpo.com.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
And the giveaway this week is none other than the book Show Me by Randall Kenneth Jones. In fact, this is a hardcover edition autographed by Randall. Amazing. This hardcover 300-page book can be yours. All you have to do is send a text to 64600 and put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. That simple. Put in the letters MYB, send it over to 64600, and this brand new release by Randall Kenneth Jones called Show Me. It's an incredible book that he did interviews with celebrities, business tycoons, journalists, and he gets their feedback on what made them successful. A really great book. And in fact, we had him as a guest here on the show. All you have to do is go to the YouTube channel. The easiest way to access it is by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Scroll down, you'll see Randall Kenneth Jones, his face, his name. You can listen to that interview. We interviewed him here live. But again, to win his book, all you have to do is send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB, Mind Your Business. Again, send a text to 64600, put in MYB, and you'll automatically enter to win this copy, this autographed hardcover copy of Show Me by Randall Kenneth Jones. Good luck.
If you're a C-suite leader looking for a place to network and connect with your peers, let me tell you about the C-Suite Network Conference, taking place in Dallas, May 22nd and 23rd. If you're a business with annual revenues of $5 million or greater, or a vice president or above, come join a group of top executives, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders talking about managing growth in the C-suite. For more information, visit csuitenetwork.com/conference. That's csuitenetwork.com/conference.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Zaflis right here on 77 WABC and WABCBizRadio.com and the 77 WABC app. In case you're just tuning in, my guest this evening is none other than Yossi Heber, who has been a marketing guru, genius, C-level executive at a number of Fortune 500 companies, and now runs Oxford Hill Partners. In fact, Yossi, I just want to open up. I'm greatly appreciative to you for the e-newsletter that you send out on a regular basis. I'm not sure if it's monthly or quarterly, but you really share some, direct, insightful advice on the world of marketing, especially as it evolves so quickly. Let's share it with the audience. Can anyone receive it if they want?
Absolutely.
Okay, how would they go about doing that?
Just drop me an email, yheber@oxfordhillpartners.com.
Okay, could you please repeat that?
That's yheber@oxfordhillpartners.com. Partners is plural.
Amazing. Now,
one word.
Now, okay, you touched on it a drop before, but let's jump right in, right? We're in 2017. There's so much being discussed about video, social media. I mean, it can explode it already 5 years ago. Maybe it dropped more, but that's when it really, reached that pivotal point and that tipping point, if you will. There's mobile. Then there's, of course, content marketing is a big. Maybe you could discuss. And I've heard it referred to as the big four, right? Mobile, content, video, and social media. Maybe I'm missing one, but maybe you can elaborate. This is really the crux of marketing today.
Absolutely, Yitzhak. This is a digital in general is growing, and it probably is true. The big four, I would say, at the moment, from a long-term trend perspective, would probably be mobile, content, video, and social media. And, the world is changing. It's true, as you mentioned before, it's fascinating how the world is changing so quickly. There's probably more transformation in marketing right now than the past 20 years put together. So if we think about mobile for a minute, which is probably the single biggest trend, I think, going on now digitally, it really rules and it continues to be what I'll call the prime viewing screen. Smartphones have become the central communications hub for virtually everybody. Mobile accounted for something like 60% of total time spent on digital media, and that number is only going to go up. The average smartphone user uses or checks their phone over 200 times per day, and 87% of millennials.
One second, how did they find that out? Because the average person is not admitting that.
not admitting it, but today there's surveillance.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
As we know in the news, close to 90% of this generation, the millennial generation, claims they never live without their phone. Even they go to sleep, the phone is right next to them. Right. In fact, according to Forrester, mobile even accounts for 35% of all e-commerce.
Wow.
So I think the listeners and people in general, and keeping that in mind, have to realize that a mobile site and mobile apps need to give visitors the same experience as they would get on their computer. So if they're on their phone, it needs to be similar. It needs to be what they call responsive. And you also have to be careful because mobile gives or creates a challenge of less is more. You can't just say it's on mobile. You can't get everything on mobile. You have to choose what's important. So everybody should really have a solid mobile strategy that properly integrates everything they're doing from a marketing and business plan into those types of requirements.
So now, let's continue and stay on some of these other, because these are like critical to the conversation. Social media, how critical is it for a company of any size, small, big, medium, etc., to have a social media component in place?
Social media has been important and it remains very important. What's trending slightly differently than in the past is social media is tending to move more from free, where you basically have a Facebook page, where you basically have Twitter, where you basically are on YouTube, which you can continue to do, which is still somewhat free. But the real bang in social media is moving sort of more what we'll call pay to play. We actually have to pay for certain things, which are also more effective if you pay for them than if you just do it on your own. So, for example, Facebook, through something called Facebook Boosted Posts, allows a company or a customer to customize and target their audience. They could target it not only by geography or by income, they could target by interests. So this gives marketers the ability to really micro-target, close to a billion global users. And I think many of the clients I work with are really applying this incredibly targeted and cost-effective techniques, you know, really to desktop as well as to mobile campaigns. So I think people have to think about how do you test some of Facebook boosted posts? Are you trying to reach a very certain demographic, an ethnic group, people who have who are adding on to their house, whatever it might be? There's ways of actually finding that out through a lot of that data and targeting people accordingly.
So, okay, now moving back to video. We know that video has always been an incredible way for a company to communicate with its audience, you know, and from that interactive, the motion aspect that a video provides. What's the status of video today in 2017? How critical is that in the marketing toolbox?
Very critical. Many research studies have shown that the recall is 5 times higher on video than on the written word. So it's probably the most engaging media format that we have today. And a lot of that is simply because affordable data plans, improved bandwidth, more widespread Wi-Fi access has really reduced the cost of doing that. And the evolution of content marketing has really spawned the whole incorporation of more video in general. Video production costs have gone down. And every social media platform has a lot of integration with social features. Right. And that's really because they really deliver for marketers. You know, videos on landing pages, they say, increase conversion, you know, by like 85%, and they more than double the shopping cart sizes. According to Forbes, YouTube has the best return on investment of any social media platform because people come to learn about everything. The other beautiful thing about videos is even if you're not in business to consumer, you're not selling consumer products, but maybe you're B2B, you're selling to other businesses, you can use video for that as well to describe what you do in order to drive lead generation. You know, Facebook even says that 100 million hours of videos are watched every day. I think the big trends going on in the video, which are interesting, and people need to think about this as they're developing their plans, are sort of short videos used as a series or video live streaming. One great brand, you know, that always gets talked about is Unilever's Dove soap and all their different varieties of products. They've done incredible things with in their sort of their beauty series, creative videos that have driven hundreds of millions of views. So that's kind of a good place to look and see, you know, who really knows how to use video well. Related to that, of course, as you mentioned, is content.
Right.
You know, content has gotten a lot cheaper. It's cheaper per lead than, say, traditional marketing. The big trend here, in addition to what's been going on all these years with articles and testimonials and reviews and so on, is what we would call sort of native advertising or branded content. And this is really sponsored content where somebody's paying for it, but it kind of looks like the ordinary content. It's kind of seamlessly weaved in to the content. So you don't really know, the consumer doesn't really know they're reading something that's been sponsored. But it's part of what the article, it's in the midst of the article that they're reading, they get to see it. That's also a very hot trend that's extremely effective. And a lot of brands, IBM, you know, Johnson & Johnson, baby products, a lot of companies do a very good job with content in general. But these are areas where there's significant growth going on right now.
Now, this is a question that I've just been waiting to ask someone of your stature, frankly. You're an expert on modern media, but you've been in the business for a couple of decades. You know, what happened to traditional marketing? Is that, I'll ask you, Frank, is that dead? Is print dead?
Not at all. I mean, I think that it is becoming a little bit less used just because digital media is becoming very effective. But despite all the hype that we talk about from a digital perspective, marketers still need to focus on the core fundamentals of marketing, kind of the four P's. You know, the old school of marketing that we all grew up in, whether you worked at Kraft or Procter & Gamble or Ford or Pepsi or smaller companies, still applies very much today. So that's all the strategic elements and important strategic focal points of marketing apply today just as much as they did. But the days of the old school has to carefully integrate into this new school of digital. So I always tell clients, if somebody says to me, you know, I often get hired to help companies write a marketing plan or write a business plan. And if somebody wants to engage me in developing what they'll call a traditional marketing plan, I'll say to them, we'll expect that the traditional marketing plan is still going to be about 50% or more digitized. you know, strong integrated doses of mobile, social, email, search, and a variety of some of the latest and greatest new media techniques. And those are always happening. You know, so the question I think every person has to ask themselves is, you know, have you integrated that into your planning process going forward?
Mm. So again, you can't ignore the fundamentals. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's another question. I hope I don't catch you off guard with this one, because this is not about marketing per se. This is really about business structure. Amazon. We understand that Amazon is like short of taking over the planet, right? They're into everything, and they do it well. They do it amazing. Now, there's small businesses, even large box retailers. Everyone feels the threat of Amazon. I believe this is under your under your purview of the array of subjects that you guide your clients with. Do you have a take on that? How a business can stay, could outmaneuver, if you will, the Amazon threat?
This is really one of the hottest questions that clients are posing to me these days.
So I'm okay asking it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You're 100% okay asking that question. You have to ask yourself, are you being hurt by Amazon? And if you're not being hurt at all, are you at least carefully watching how competitive sellers on Amazon, and even Amazon itself, are affecting your category? People will often say, you know, people are selling my products on Amazon at prices lower than we sell them for ourselves. So, of course, how do they do that? But the bigger question is, how do we protect ourselves? Right. Because they are doing it. So if you're not at least tracking your category on Amazon, you better get started with that, because there are seismic shifts going on right now, really in the blind spot. If a company is not following that, there is a blind spot that they're missing. On the flip side of that, you know, I have clients who have really grown their revenue very fast by selling on Amazon. And it's become, for some of them, they're one of their top couple of distribution channels today. So the payoff here can be incredible. So you have to really ask yourself, are you taking advantage of that new source of revenue yet? And are you watching and protecting your flank from issues that may be in your blind spot?
Are there any other specific takeaways that you could share?
Well, I think from a longer term perspective, in terms of thinking about long term trends, and maybe we'll get to some of the shorter term or more recent types of trends. Mm-hmm. But I would say one other important long term trend is influencers and brand advocates.
Yeah, can you talk about that, influencer marketing?
Absolutely. I mean, these are people that can, you know, transform a business when they're leveraged properly. And this is something that's a big business already, but is becoming even bigger. You know, decision makers are more informed, or decisions are being made more informed than ever before in history. So whether it's online influencers or niche bloggers, they can really help brands target their global audiences. I think I saw somewhere something like 80% of marketing and communications professionals say they're planning to launch some kind of an influencer-based program this year. Even B2B and small business can get into this act, because the cost of leveraging brand advocates and influencers really doesn't cost much, or cost zero. I mean, people who are your current customers can be turned into ambassadors. They can provide referrals to their friends or their business colleagues, and they can be a great way to get new customers at little or almost no cost. And the fact is, I think something like 15% of consumers really trust advertising per se. 90% of consumers trust peer reviews and recommendations. So if you can get some of your existing customers to tell their friends or their business colleagues about you, that's a way that you could spread the word and spread the gospel about your brand really almost cost-free.
My guest this evening is none other than Yossi Heber, president and founder of Oxford Hill Partners. He's worked at a number of Fortune 500 companies in C-level executive positions, and he's sharing some really incredible content about the world of marketing and beyond. And thank you for taking of your precious time to join me here on Mind Your Business. Want to remind the audience, in case you're just tuning in, no worries. On the Tuesday following the airing of this show, this entire episode will be available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're a C-suite leader looking for a place to network and connect with your peers, let me tell you about the C-Suite Network Conference, taking place in Dallas May 22nd and 23rd. If you're a business with annual revenues of $5 million or greater, or a vice president or above, come join a group of top executives, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders talking about managing growth in the C-suite. For more information, visit csuitenetwork.com/conference. That's csuitenetwork.com/conference.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand. And the giveaway this week is none other than the book Show Me by Randall Kenneth Jones. In fact, this is a hardcover edition, autographed by Randall, can be yours. All you have to do is send a text to 64600 and put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. That simple. Put in the letters MYB, send it over to 64600, and this brand new release by Randall Kenneth Jones called Show Me. It's an incredible book that he did interviews with celebrities, business tycoons, journalists, and he gets their feedback on what made them successful. A really great book. And in fact, we had him as a guest here on the show. All you have to do is go to the YouTube channel. The easiest way to access it is by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Scroll down. You'll see Randall Kenneth Jones, his face, his name. You could listen to that interview. We interviewed him here live. But again, to win his book, all you have to do is send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB, Mind Your Business. Again, send a text to 64600, put in MYB, and you'll automatically enter to win this copy, this autographed hardcover copy of Show Me by Randall Kenneth Jones. Good luck.
Do you own a small business? Do you want free access to the biggest business networking event of the year? Check out the Small Business Expo. It's free to attend, featuring more than 25 workshops, panel discussions, networking opportunities, and over 100 exhibits, including Vistaprint, Bank of America, Progressive, and Zip Local. There's something for everyone at the Small Business Expo. Join us at the New York City Small Business Expo at the Jacob K. Javits Convention Center on Thursday, May 11th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Register free today at thesmallbusinessexpo.com. That's thesmallbusinessexpo.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC. I want to remind the listeners that our YouTube channel has, I believe, around 20 to 22 videos that were of incredible guests that we've had on the show. The interview with Linda Kaplan Thaler, that's up on the archives, and specifically on the YouTube channel. It's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis. Just go to YouTube, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis, and all the video recorded shows of this great program are up there on that channel. Again, you could be a subscriber, and then you automatically will be notified when we put new ones up. Back to our amazing guest this evening, Yossi Heber, founder and president of Oxford Hill Partners. By the way, Yossi, if a company wants to become a client, how do they get a hold of you?
They get a hold of me by sending me an email, okay, which is at yheber, Y-H-E-B-E-R, at OxfordHillPartners.com. All one word, and partners is plural. They can go to my LinkedIn page, or they can call me in my office.
And what's the number?
248-569-9366.
Perfect. Could you repeat that?
248-569-9366.
Perfect. Now, Yossi, something we didn't touch on yet, but I have to ask you about VR, virtual reality.
What's
the story with that? Is that here to stay? What's it all about?
Yeah, virtual reality will really begin to transform marketing in new ways going forward. I mean, I wish that when I was, my old days at Kraft and at Danon, it had something like this. And now it's just starting to really get some traction. It's really in its early phases. But the rapid sort of evolution of virtual reality, VR, mm-hmm. and the big investment, companies like Google and Facebook are making is really setting the stage for what could be something very big to help marketers better engage with their consumers. For example, there's something called the Oculus Rift, which was something bought by Facebook, and it enables somebody with their wearing this type of a headset. It gives you the feeling that you're actually right there. You could tell your brand story sort of from 360-degree perspective. And companies will be able to engage consumers, whether it's in the store, at home, whether on the run, like never before. Similar to that is something called augmented reality, also similar to virtual reality. We know there was the famous Pokemon Go,
right,
which was out there.
Crazy.
And these types of new visual content systems will be very potent, especially for marketing to millennials. If you want to get a flavor for how virtual reality can work, one particular case study that I like to look at is Volvo. The auto company introduced their XC90 car model with a low-cost virtual reality experience where people actually got something. They were able to kind of look through a mobile phone and in the 360-degree type of an environment, get all excited about it. If I'm not mistaken, I think they sold out their first run of those cars before they even got out into the showroom.
Wow. And this will bring up a question that I want to get to in a bit, and that is kind of measuring this stuff. But that's a great example. But before we get there, perhaps you could even share any other trends to keep an eye out for in 2017.
I think it's important to realize that, location-based marketing, mm-hmm. continues to grow. It's, as they've always said, location, location, location. But mm-hmm. in the case of mobile, location is important. How do marketers capitalize on that? I think it's going to come together. Location-based marketing is going to come together much more when consumers are trying to compare prices in the store, and they can be targeted with what they call proximity marketing. So this is something that uses mobile technologies and sort of beacons to engage customers, enhance their shopping experience, offer personalized content, encourage specific behaviors right there when they're in the store. So, for example, Frito-Lay in Stop and Shop, as an example, when consumers will be walking close to the snack aisle, something would pop up on their phone, through a beacon to try to get people over to some of their Lay's or, Ruffles potato chips, mm-hmm. and it improves potentially the odds of purchase. Yeah. So I think that's a big deal where, let's say, for example, someone is walking around with their pet in a pet park, a pet supply store could maybe send customers a discount promotion when they're in the vicinity of that pet park because they're thinking about their dog at that moment. So these services, I think, are going to get even bigger this year, next year, and they'll allow marketers to better connect the online experience really to the retail store. So again, this is something that's somewhat in its early stage, but it's something to keep in mind as sort of a newer and more interesting trend.
Wow.
One other big thing I think that's very hot right now, it's becoming a word that are being talked about a lot, a big trend, is something called chatbots. Chatbot really is a service powered by certain rules and sometimes artificial intelligence that allows you to discuss something, allows the consumer to talk and get answers really through their messaging apps on their phone. So, for example, if you want to buy ink for your printer, you can go to Office Depot's website, browse for the right ink and buy it. But if, let's say, they had a bot, instead of dealing with the website, which is a long, cumbersome experience, through messaging on your phone, you could have a verbal conversation with the Office Depot chatbot and order the ink in a few seconds. So it's a little bit like if people have Siri on their iPhone or they have the Amazon Echo Dot in their home, they were talking to Alexa and saying, "Can you give me the weather?" or "Tell me my checkbook balance."
Right.
They can do this as well, and marketers can use this. A consumer could use it to get information, and chatbots are starting to become an opportunity because if people are using messaging apps more often through social media and social networks, they are potentially a great platform for sales, services, customer care, and all kinds of other information.
So it sounds like AI is here to stay?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, man. Are robots going to take us over?
I don't know. Better watch out.
I got to jump to this. In fact, the Wall Street Journal had a cover story on this a couple of months ago, and that is about companies kind of are starting to reevaluate. They understand social media, digital, of course, is here to stay. But the question is, how do you measure it? And how do you, you know, and how do you measure against your key competitors? I understand that your company specializes in this type of analysis and direction. Maybe you could shed some light on this.
Sure, great question. Measurement is really very important in order to see how well your marketing, social media, digital programs are performing, or your traditional marketing programs for that matter. One aspect that's just absolutely critical within the measurement arena is to find a way to be very well aware of what your key competitors are doing in the digital world and benchmark how you're performing versus those competitors. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Where are there gaps? What are the upside opportunities? We have a process, patented process actually, which we call EQ Pulse. Mm-hmm. And we use that with many clients, you know, to explore a client's digital activities versus their top key competitors and versus industry best practices. So we look at about 150 different best practices and different aspects regarding their website, search, email, social media, content, mobile activities, and so on. And we bucket them into what we've coined as the digital's eight strategic revenue driver categories. We then score and we benchmark the client's activities across all of these 150 and eight strategic revenue drivers. We benchmark them through this scoring system relative to their key competitors. We extract kind of unique consumer insight. And then based on what we learn in terms of strengths, weaknesses, and the scores, we then provide what I'll call sort of actionable revenue building and consumer engagement go-forward recommendations, kind of a digital blueprint.
Wow.
We've probably done these for well over 100 different well-known brands. So EQ Pulse is really a potent process, a strategic process, I would say, that helps a company quantify where exactly they stand versus their key competitors and what the blueprint should be going forward to help take their business to the next level. Again, but it has to be integrated with their traditional marketing plan and their regular business plan. How do you do that, and what do you do going forward based on what you learn from where you are relative to key competitors?
Now, I just have to ask you this question because this sounds like a fascinating tool. You work with Fortune 500 companies. You had mentioned initially that you also work with smaller to medium-sized companies. Let's say a company is scared off, say, that EQ tool sounds like something I got to do. It's amazing. But, is this something that even a non-Fortune 5 company can look at and should explore doing?
Well, actually, if you work a large company, obviously companies have a lot of money to do a lot of things.
Right.
I've worked on brands where I've had budgets of a couple of $100 million, to spend on advertising and promotions and so on. But, a lot of the clients I work with are not those large companies, and they don't have large marketing budgets. And I'm sure many of the listeners on the show, some of them are large companies and some of them are small companies. So let's say, for example, mm-hmm. You're a smaller company. Let's say you're a company in the $20 to $30 million range, or maybe even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Companies always will say to me, I want to do much more digitally, but I have so little money.
Right.
What can we do on a low budget? The answer really is that there are many ways to develop a low-cost digital plan. And of course, that needs to be customized.
Right.
But let me just provide three very powerful examples of what companies can do with little or maybe even no money at all.
Sure.
And you could pretty much turn around and do this almost instantly. Number one, to get free awareness and trial, as we mentioned earlier, ask people to tell their friends and colleagues about you. If you're bold, you'll give this person who tells their friends and colleagues maybe even a small reward for helping you.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we mentioned, people trust their friends much more than they trust us, the marketers.
Mm-hmm.
And if they tell their friends, you get a trusted recommendation at no cost to you.
Right.
Number two, to drive more revenue from existing customers? You've got the customer already. How do you get more revenue from them? I would say you want to think about cross-selling them. Let's say they're looking at toothbrushes. You sell toothbrushes, and they're looking at the toothbrushes on your website.
Mm-hmm.
So while they're looking at the toothbrushes, tell them about the toothpaste that you also sell. Amazon, of course, is great at this. You look at one book, they tell you about another book related. Yeah. So cross-selling is a simple way to often double your revenue right on the spot at no cost to you if they take you up on such an offer. Finally, number three, I would say if you want to build loyalty and long-term relationships with existing customers, build up your email database. You know, contrary to some people who now say, email's kind of out of vogue, and it's not out of vogue. Email's not out of vogue at all. Having a customer's email address opens a conduit which allows you to keep selling them on a regular basis. And as everyone knows, you know, selling to existing customers costs a lot less than trying to reel in new customers. So these are three approaches I think that anybody could try.
Amazing.
They really cost almost nothing and give any company really the ability to try to take their marketing up to a next level on a very low or virtually nil marketing budget that they may have.
Yes, I can't thank you enough for joining me here on Mind Your Business. First of all, as you wrap up, what's the best way that someone can get in touch with you if they're ready to, you know, to scale their business?
Check out my LinkedIn page, Yossi Heber. You can also follow me on Twitter, or you could send me an email at yheber, that's Y-H-E-B as in boy, E-R, at OxfordHillPartners.com. Oxford Hill Partners, Oxford as in the University, Hill Partners, that's all one word, Partners is plural, yheber at OxfordHillPartners.com. Or you can call me at my office, 248-569-9366.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing such incredible content. We're going to be back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Do you own a small business? Do you want free access to the biggest business networking event of the year? Check out the Small Business Expo. It's free to attend, featuring more than 25 workshops, panel discussions, networking opportunities, and over 100 exhibits, including Vistaprint, Bank of America, Progressive, and Zip Local. There's something for everyone at the Small Business Expo. Join us at the New York City Small Business Expo at the Jacob K. Javits Convention Center on Thursday, May 11th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Register free today at thesmallbusinessexpo.com. That's thesmallbusinessexpo.com.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
If you're a C-suite leader looking for a place to network and connect with your peers, let me tell you about the C-Suite Network Conference, taking place in Dallas, May 22nd and 23rd. If you're a business with annual revenues of $5 million or greater, or a vice president or above, come join a group of top executives, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders talking about managing growth in the C-suite. For more information, visit csuitenetwork.com/conference. That's csuitenetwork.com/conference.
And the giveaway this week is none other than the book Show Me by Randall Kenneth Jones. In fact, this is a hardcover edition autographed by Randall. Amazing. This hardcover 300-page book can be yours. All you have to do is send a text to 64600 and put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. That simple. Put in the letters MYB, send it over to 64600, and this brand new release by Randall Kenneth Jones called Show Me. It's an incredible book that he did interviews with celebrities, business tycoons, journalists, and he gets their feedback on what made them successful. A really great book. And in fact, we had him as a guest here on the show. All you have to do is go to the YouTube channel. The easiest way to access it is by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Scroll down, you'll see Randall Kenneth Jones, his face, his name. You can listen to that interview. We interviewed him here live. But again, to win his book, all you have to do is send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB, Mind Your Business. Again, send a text to 64600, put in MYB, and you'll automatically enter to win this copy, this autographed hardcover copy of Show Me by Randall Kenneth Jones. Good luck. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC. We're nearly out of time, but just want to take this opportunity again to thank Yossi Heber for sharing such great wisdom from his lifetime of experience, although he's not an old guy by any stretch of the imagination. Also want to thank Mishpocha Magazine. In this week's edition, we have the special, the Take 5 column, where the top 5 takeaways from the guests, from Yossi Heber. There is a special interview that's done that captures the 5 tips with the guest, and they actually are featured in this week's Mishpacha magazine. It's available at the newsstands as of the airing of this show. And you'll get to, he shares 5 great takeaways. It's there in the print edition of Mishpacha magazine on newsstands this weekend. Well, this brings to a close another great edition of Mind Your Business, and tune in again next Sunday evening at 10 o'clock, not 11 anymore, 10 o'clock, for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saftlis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saftlis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over 2 decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.